Welcome to another special edition of RDSP Chicago,
Radio
DePaul's premier Chicago-centric show. You know, we talk a lot about the big teams in the Chicago, you know, the Cubs, the Sox, the Bears, the Bulls, the Blackhawks, but there are a lot of teams around Chicago and the Chicagoland area that we just don't get to highlight.
So
in one of the first episodes of this little special segment of RDSP Chicago, we're going to highlight some of those minor league teams that you should at least give an opportunity to. And we are blessed today to have the Gary South Shore Railcats featuring with us today. I am joined by Ryan Zimmerman, the Director of Media Relations and Broadcasting. Gary, thank you again for taking time out of your busy day to join us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
I want to kind of talk about like who you are, because obviously your route comes into broadcasting. So how did you get into broadcasting? Why did you choose this as your career?
So it's a bit of a funny story that it kind of just happened out of circumstance. Obviously, I was a kid that really loved sports growing up, played as many as I could, watched as much as I could. I think I had maybe every sport video game known to man throughout my childhood. So I really have always liked it throughout my life. It was never my only interest, but it was always a big interest. But I didn't realize I wanted to do broadcasting until I got to college. Just throughout middle school, throughout high school, one of my favorite books of all time, and still to this day it is, but one of my favorite books of all time is Moneyball. If you've seen the movie, obviously it's a really good movie, but I recommend reading the book because as good as the movie is, the book is better. But I really focused on math and statistics because I thought that was my way into professional sports. Maybe not just baseball, but my goal throughout middle school and high school was to put myself in position to be the general manager of a major North American sports franchise. Didn't have to be baseball, but baseball was always like the most linear for me just because of how much I loved stats and how much I love numbers. And I thought that was my way into the game. So I ended up going to the University of California, Berkeley originally to do that. And I wanted to put myself in position to be on that track. But before I started my freshman year, I was just scrolling through my Facebook one day and someone in the UC Berkeley class of 2020 Facebook group said, "Hey, come join our student radio station. We do this, 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 and this." And I thought, you know what? This could be kind of fun. You know, it's something that I can say I did while I was in college. And that could be a really cool story when I move on into the real world. So started my freshman year, I decided to go to the orientation and give it a shot. And by my sophomore year, I was having so much fun doing that that I realized, you know what? Why not try to make a profession out of this? So from that point forward, I just have decided to go after it. Ever since then, I've gotten to do some really cool things. I spent 3 years doing summer collegiate baseball, two of which were in the Midwest Collegiate League in 2018 and 2020. That's since rebranded to the Northern League. In 2019, I was the voice of the Sanford Mainers in the New England Collegiate Baseball League, and I'm very proud to say that I was voted a broadcast all-star that year, so I got to broadcast the Home Run Derby and the league's all-star game that year. 2020, if not for the pandemic, I was all set to become one of the voices for the Kitsuit Kettleers and the Cape Cod Baseball League. That would have been a really fun opportunity, but unfortunately, COVID happened, but I still wanted to find a way to stay involved, even though I wasn't on location. So my broadcast partner and I, we decided to launch a podcast that ended up running for 20 episodes. And I did a little bit of feature writing for the team's website. And that was a lot of fun. And I really enjoyed it. But at the end of the summer, you know, I was 22 years old. I just graduated college. And the team decided, you know what, we want to keep this a college internship. And since you just graduated, we want to give a chance to somebody who's still trying to develop while they're still in school, which is completely understandable. And, you know, at the time, it hurt a little bit, but at the same time, I could completely understand their reasoning. And I knew it wasn't personal. It wasn't anything they were saying they didn't want me anymore. It was just more of a policy thing, but with COVID happening at the time, my future in broadcasting was kind of in limbo. So at the time, I decided to take a sales job. I was working as a carrier sales representative at a third-party logistics freight brokerage in Chicago, but I got the itch to come back. And the only opportunity I had was to go an unconventional route. So I ended up as a graduate assistant at Division II Delta State University in Cleveland, Mississippi, where I got to do even more than what I was doing on the baseball front. I had broadcasting opportunities, but I also did a lot of media relations. I did a lot of website upkeep. I did a lot of podcasting. I did a lot of just odd jobs around the office, stuff that ended up coming back up in minor league baseball, just the things that you need to do that perhaps nobody wants to do, but it has to get done in order to keep the operation moving. So after 6 months there, I felt like that was the right time to return to baseball. And I got in a right place, right time circumstance with the Gary South Shore Railcats, and they hired me in February of 2022. And now I'm going into my second year there. Since I started here, I've also been very fortunate to pick up some really good off-season work. So in the off-season, I'm the radio voice of the University of Vermont women's basketball team. And this past year, they actually won the America East Conference tournament for the first time in 13 years and made it to the NCAA tournament where we played UConn. So I'm not where I want to be in my career just yet. I have goals of making it onto ESPN and being the voice of a major professional sports franchise, but I'm really proud of what I've been able to accomplish at just 25 years old. And I want to be where my feet are. I want to enjoy the experience I have in front of me, but at the same time, I'm always looking forward to the next step.
Is there something about minor league baseball that just interests you maybe a little bit more than, you know, basketball or football or anything like that?
I mean, I just love broadcasting sports in general. And whenever anyone asks me what my favorite sport is, it's the one that's on TV right now. But there are some really great things about minor league baseball, just from a standpoint of a fan and as a broadcaster. I'll start from the broadcasting side. But one thing that I really enjoy about it is that it's every day. If you have a good broadcast one night, well, guess what? You have a chance to top it tomorrow. If you have a broadcast that you're not as happy with, you know what? Wash it away and get ready to do it again tomorrow, and you can learn from it and be better the next day. That's what I really love about it, because every day is an opportunity to get better, and you have so many chances throughout the year to do that, especially with a 100-game schedule that the Railcats play. I've got 100 chances to get better each and every day, and I want to take advantage of every single one of those opportunities. But from a fan's perspective, and why I personally enjoy the sport of baseball and minor league baseball in particular, is because of just how pure the game is. And especially in the MLB Partner League system, these are guys that are playing because they love baseball. They're trying to fight for an opportunity to get back to an affiliated team and hopefully the big leagues. And that takes them to some locations that perhaps they never thought they would be, like Gary, Indiana. But when they're here, they really enjoy their time here because they really embrace the community. They develop a relationship with the fans. The American Association is a really good league in that they market their players really well, and they develop connections not just with their organizations or with their teammates, but also the community and the fans. And just seeing that, seeing how they're embraced and how they're humanized by the local community, that's what really makes it special to me, just because you're seeing them on the field every day, but off the field, they're just normal people that are willing to chop it up with you and take the time to talk with you. And it's just a really cool thing. They've got amazing stories and they love to share them.
We have a ton of members here at Radio DePaul Sports who are dying to be in your position, stuff like that. If there's any advice that you could give them today, what would that be?
How much time you got?
I mean, we've got as much time as you're willing to give us.
Well, I'll try and keep it brief, but there are some things that I learned along the way when I was still in college that have really helped me out today. But I'll narrow it down to the two biggest pieces of advice. One, you just got to put yourself out there. Networking is so huge in this industry. And a lot of the times when teams are hiring, they're really only going to hire one, someone they know, or two, someone that gets recommended to them. And the more people you talk with, the more people you reach out to, the more people that you ask for a critique on your demo reel, on your writing, what have you, that's going to stick. And you never know what happens in this industry. People leave, people go get other jobs, and they're going to remember the people that made the good impressions. You know, it doesn't always stick out what you say or what you do, but people are always going to remember how you make them feel. So that's why networking is so key. And along with that, you just want to be a good person in general, because like I said, people are always going to remember the way that you feel, or the way that you make them feel, excuse me. But on the broadcasting side of things, and I think sometimes I take this for granted, and it might not be the best perceived by someone in my shoes, but really, no rep is a bad rep. Every time you put the headset on, you've got a chance to become better. So no matter whether you're broadcasting a 12U travel game, which I've done before, or you're broadcasting high school sports, college sports, pro sports, major league sports, it doesn't matter. Every time that you get ready to call a game, you have a chance to get better. You have a chance to add to your reel. You have a chance to put yourself out there. So some reps have a lot more bells and whistles than others. Sure, I'm not going to deny that. But at the same time, if you're getting a rep, it's good. And you have a chance to take advantage of it and make yourself better and boost your own profile. So never, ever, ever deny a rep because of prestige or because it's not where you think you want to be. Just any rep is a good rep.
Let's turn straight into talking about the Gary South Shore Railcats. I know that you work for them, and I don't want to put you in a weird, difficult position, but as a broadcaster and just an observer of the team from May to, I think, September, that's when the seasons typically end for minor leagues?
Correct. Yeah. The end of the regular season is Labor Day.
Right. How would you assess what the team was able to do last season?
So I think that they accomplished quite a bit. They finished at 42-58, which might contradict what I'm just saying, but I think they really put the pieces in place to really be successful in the years to come. Last year, the 2022 season, the team had a brand new manager. Lamar Rogers came in after Greg Taggart departed after 16 seasons to work in the San Francisco Giants organization. And that year one was all about establishing culture, establishing a standard for the way the team expects to play on the field, the way that the team expects to be off the field. But at the same time, he changed the dynamic in the clubhouse. He wanted to create an atmosphere where players are loose, they're having fun, they're building relationships with one another, and they're enjoying the game every step of the way. And I think in that regard, the season was very successful. He built a stable of guys that he really trusts. He's always looking to improve upon that, sure. But guys are starting to really enjoy it here, and that's translating to performance on the field. And with the group that they're bringing in this year and the fact that the reputation is getting around throughout the American Association, that the times really are changing in Gary and that this really is a different team than it was under Greg Taggart for all those years, the former manager, that is, these guys have put themselves in a position to really be successful. And I think that's what that first year was all about.
Is there a moment from last year that just kind of stands out to you as just a moment that you just feel like really represented the team and what they're trying to fight for? I understand that that was your first year, but any insight on like maybe an event that just stuck out to you?
Oh, absolutely. There are quite a few of them, but I think the one that really stands out to me was when Sam Abbott broke the single season franchise home run record. Throughout the Greg Taggart era, the Railcats were known for playing a specific way. They were one of those teams that they grind every at bat. They work you down. They play small ball. They run the bases hard. They rely on speed and contact, and that's the way that they beat you. It was very successful for a long time while Taggart was here. The team won two Northern League championships and one American Association championship when they moved over, and that was a really established way in Gary, and it bred a lot of success, but it felt like the team really needed a shakeup. And when Lamar came in, he decided to build the team the way that he wanted them to play. He wanted to bring in power. He wanted to bring in guys with pop. He wanted to bring in guys that could really drive the ball. I know that sounds like three ways of saying the same thing, but he really retooled that roster to bring in a lot more power and become a team that plays a more exciting brand of baseball. And that's where Sam Abbott comes in, a kid who was drafted in, I believe, the eighth round of the 2017 draft. Let me actually just verify that right now. Let's see. Yeah, he was an eighth round pick of the White Sox in 2017. And the reason he was drafted so high was because of his raw power. So he comes in about the third week of the season. His first at bat is against the Kansas City Monarchs, and they've got Lewis Thorpe on the mound, a lefty who spent time with the Minnesota Twins. And his first American Association swing hits one over the berm in right center field, rolls underneath the fence beyond the walkway on the concourse and into the parking lot. And that was his first swing, a 400-plus foot bomb. And at that point, I'm thinking, oh, wow, this team could really start swinging for the fences this year. We had a few home runs in the first three series of the season, but that was the moment where I realized, okay, this team is really going to drive the ball. And obviously, I heard things about the way the team played in the past, but it was really cool seeing him start off the new era with a home run. And then on the final homestand of the season, he's at 19 home runs, tied with Christian Guerrero, who set the single-season franchise record back when the team was still playing in the Northern League. And he puts one in the same spot over the right center field bullpen, over the berm, and it nearly rolled in the parking lot there. And it was a really cool moment that just really signified the new way this team wants to play and the way they're going to win ballgames. He obviously had 20, which was top 15 in the league, but the team had 92 home runs last year. That was a franchise record in the way that Lamar has continued to build upon that. I wouldn't be the least bit shocked if for the first time in franchise history, they hit over 100 home runs in a season. So for me, that was the real moment, or the real great moment, rather, that really stands out to me, because it's really showing that the shift in play is it's noticeable. It's something that fans and the broadcasters and the players are really going to recognize.
Anything this particular season was your first game. I'm going to just make sure if I got my dates right. Your first game is in like a week and a half, I believe.
Yeah, it's May 2nd right now. For those of you listening right now, it's May 2nd. Our first game is against the Winnipeg Goldeyes on May 11th at home.
Yeah. Is there anything?
So mark your calendars. Come on out to the Steelyard.
Yeah, please mark your calendars if you're in the area, in the Gary area, or even just in the Chicago area. It's not too far to watch a game and stuff like that. But in any case, is there anything this season that you're looking forward to? Maybe as a casual observer, or just as a broadcaster, anything in particular you're just looking forward to?
I'm just really excited to see the team take the next step. Like I said, our manager, Lamar Rogers, is really putting his fingerprints on this team. And this was his first full offseason where he got to do that. He got hired in March of last year, which really only gave him 2 months to start really building his team. And he kept tinkering with the roster throughout the 2022 season to bring in a group of guys he thought would play his style of baseball and bring wins. Now he has a full offseason to expand upon that. He locked up a lot of the impact players from last season. I'd say about 95% of them are back, and those that didn't return didn't do so more so because they retired and wanted to move on with their lives rather than anything else. But he's also bringing in a lot of players with affiliated experience that have a lot of upside that could potentially put this team over the top and get them back into the playoffs. And once the playoffs start, playoff baseball can be such a crapshoot sometimes. You never know. Every team really has an equal shot. So I'm excited to see the team take that next step and move forward and go from being a playoff bubble team to a playoff contender and potentially a championship contender.
Well, we're going to go ahead and take a brief break, and when we return, we'll talk a little bit more about what Ryan does for the Railcats, as well as some interesting hobbies that Ryan gets into, and we'll be right back after these commercial breaks.
I dropped my phone on the tracks. I better go get it.
Stop. Stay off the tracks.
The rails of the CTA have 600 volts of electricity moving through them, which is the same amount as a full-grown South American electric eel. That danger doesn't even include the 30-ton train moving upwards of 55 miles per hour, heading towards you like a bull on a mission. The situation will feel like you got hit by both thunder and lightning.
You can live without your cell phone for a few minutes, so don't risk it. Stay behind the blue platform edge and relax. This message was brought to you by Radio DePaul, Chicago's college connection.
I got three words for you: beef, hot, and dipped. Yeah, it's a Chicago thing, and so is Johnny's Beef, located at 2300 North Lincoln Avenue in Chicago. Check out the new website, johnnys-beef.com. You can order there, or you can use the app, whatever that is. And for a limited time, use promo code DEMON for 10% off. DePaul students and faculty get 10% off with your ID anytime. Follow at Johnny's Beef on Instagram, and for beef, euros, and more, head to Johnny's Beef now already. Jeez, with this guy.
We are back with more RDPS Chicago, here highlighting the Gary South Shore Railcats alongside Ryan Zimmerman. Let's talk about your position for a little bit with the Gary South Shore Railcats, the Director of Broadcasting and Media Relations. Can you kind of go into, like, what does that detail? Because obviously, in a major league team, you probably won't be dealing with a ton of the details that I've at least looked at, but it looks like you have your hand in just about everything.
Just about. Really, Director of Broadcasting and Media Relations is a fancy title for team broadcaster, but there's just so much more that goes into it. Obviously, I'll be on the call for every game the team plays this year in the regular season, and fingers crossed, every game the team plays in the postseason. More so, I don't think that if we make it, I'm not going to be on the call. I just am really hoping we make it. But it just means that I handle pretty much 95% of what the team puts out, and I'm the first contact between the players in the front office, the players in the media, and I'm just someone that people in the organization turn to get things done. So, for example, it's a really – I don't know why I said for example, but it's a really overarching thing. So I'll start out on the media relations side, what I do every year. I'll make the media guide at the beginning of the season. Every game, I'll produce daily game notes, whether it's at home or on the road. I'll have them to distribute in whichever press box I call the game. I'll do a lot of live tweeting. I usually write all of the player recap or the player signing articles, the game recaps, a lot of the promotional articles. If we have a feature story, the majority of the time, that'll be me. I'll do a roster every game to put it in the press box. That gets updated usually daily. I do a lot of website upkeep, updating the roster on the website, uploading things that need to be uploaded to the website, fixing information on the Point Streak website that the team, or rather the league, uses. I'm one to adjust the numbers or the roster numbers when need be, update hometowns per the player's request, stuff of that particular degree. But at the same time, I have my hand in pretty much everything. There have been times that I've pulled tarp for the team. There have been times where I've picked up equipment for some of the players. And yesterday I made a couple of runs to the airport because yesterday was report day and we have to get the players from either Midway or O'Hare to the stadium. And that's just a really small percentage of what I do. In minor league baseball in general, the money isn't as expansive as it is in the major leagues, obviously. I know that sounds like a very obvious thing to say, but you really see that come to fruition in minor league baseball at any level, because if you want to work in this industry, you have to be able to wear a lot of hats. You have to be able to do a lot of different tasks, and you have to be willing to do it all. And that's just what I do. So on top of being the broadcaster and the voice of the team and being a representative that bridges the players and the team itself to the front office, to the media, to the fans, what have you, I'm working hard behind the scenes in any capacity imaginable to make sure that each night the job gets done. And outside of what happens on the field, we get everything taken care of, and that from a business side of things, every day is a successful day.
You also have a little bit of hands in the social media side of things. How do you, I know you don't necessarily make all the content and post all the content and stuff like that, but you had experience doing that in the past. How do you go about making content for a team, especially given last year where you didn't have the year that your team was expected to have? How do you go about making content that's still engaging, that still reaches out to a large number of people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, first and foremost, it's not something I do myself. I'm very fortunate to be surrounded by a lot of creative minds in the front office and a lot of interns that have brilliant ideas that help me get that done. And I want to make sure that they get all the credit they deserve because they work so hard. And it just so happens that I'm the one who puts his name on the broadcast every single night. And a lot of times I get associated more with the team than they do just because I'm at every game, calling every game. So I just want to make sure that they get the proper due and let them know that they're the best. I love working with them and they make my job so much more enjoyable. But it's really because I'm around so many people that want the same thing I do and want to create the same engaging content that I create that I'm able to get out as much as I can. Usually we'll sit down from time to time, come up with ideas during the, I guess there's no better way to say it than the preseason, March, April, the lead up to the season, where we'll sit down and we'll bang out some ideas. What worked from last year? What do we want to continue? What do we want to do to build upon that? But at the same time, we're looking at our social media all the time. You want to see what other teams are doing, how other teams are creating graphics, how other teams are structuring their content. Some cool ideas that I see on YouTube sometimes. Okay, how do we adapt that to fit what we're doing here with the Railcats? So a lot of the time we have a lot of original ideas and a lot of them are really well executed. But a lot of the time what we do is we're looking around and seeing, okay, what is someone else doing and how can we tailor that more so to what we're trying to do? So there's a lot of, I wouldn't say copycatting in minor league baseball. I wouldn't say that's the right term, but I'd say if you go around and look at content that teams create, there's a lot of overlap. That's the way I'll put it. But we usually try to just figure out what we want to do and then how to execute it. And a lot of the times it falls on me to put the players in touch with the right people. I'll usually have a list of all their phone numbers. And one of the great things about this team and the American Association in general is that players are really friendly to you. So if they want, or if you want them to do an interview or help you shoot a piece of content, 99 times out of 100, they'll say yes, and they'll buy in, and they'll be great about it. But it just, I'm trying to think about how I want to say this, but after that, you know, you just kind of help them get an idea of what you want to do. They'll help you do it. Then it gets to editing, and then it gets to putting it on social media at the right times. But it's really a multifaceted process that involves everybody within the organization. I feel kind of cheesy saying that it takes a village, but it really does. And it's just a collaborative effort between a lot of people that really know what they're doing and really want to make it happen.
We're about near the end of our time talking about the Gary Shore Wildcats. Ryan, I just want to kind of touch on some things that I learned about you as we were preparing this episode here. You're a guitar guy. How did you get into like playing the guitar and stuff like that?
Ah, man, you really dug deep to find that one. But yeah, I've been playing guitar for a long time. It's something that I had an interest in when I was really young. My parents signed me up for guitar lessons, and it really just went from there, and it developed a love of music that I still have to this day. I hate to admit that I don't play as much as I used to growing up throughout middle school, throughout high school, just because life got in the way, and I have a full-time job, and that takes up a lot of my time, especially in minor league baseball, where your schedule can really be long, and I just don't have that much free time. But I still like to play as much as I can. But it's a really fun thing that just served as a creative outlet for me growing up. It's something that I really enjoy, and it got me into music, and it got me into all sorts of music. You look through my playlists, and there's a whole different mix of genres in there, but I got into it just because, you know, I was 5 years old. I really wanted to. And my parents were like, okay, we'll throw you right in there. If you like it, you like it, but we'll start you off small and then we'll go from there. And that really evolved from playing classical music to rock to jazz. And really, it's still in me. I love doing it whenever I can.
Now, do you typically play on a acoustic, electric, bass? What's your guitar of choice?
Usually I'll play electric, but I have all three of those guitars at my house somewhere.
Okay.
So I know how to do a lot of different things. And when I was in middle school, I actually dabbled in jazz band percussion. So I know how to play the drums a little bit too. Not very well, but I know how to do it. So no, I'm a huge classic rock / alternative rock fan. That's what my parents got me into growing up. And I still love it to this day. So I've always preferred playing electric.
No, I was about to say, I grew up playing electric as well. I can't say I play it as much as I do anymore, but no, that's awesome, honestly. Also heard that you're a hiker as well. Is there any interesting places that you've gotten a chance to hike along? I don't know, like the Appalachian Trails or a checklist thing that you were hoping to do, but any places that you would recommend for any up-and-coming hikers?
Again, this is something I haven't had too much time to do nowadays just because of having a job. But yeah, that was more so something that was born out of going to summer camp as long as I did when I was growing up, and that helped me develop a love of nature. Shout out to Camp Nebagamon for Boys in Lake Nebagamon, Wisconsin. They really helped me become the person that I am today. But I had a lot of really cool hiking experiences there. When I was 14 years old, I got to take some of the coolest hiking trips that I've ever done. I got to do Pictured Rocks in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan for 6 days, 5 nights. Got to run up and down the sand dunes and get to take in some spectacular views, both of water and of just nature in general, just really tall trees that really capture your imagination. And then later that summer, I got to go to Isle Royale, which is an island off of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. That was a 2-week trip. And oh man, if I could go back and do any trip again, that might be the one. It was just an incredible 2-week journey. I got to learn a lot about myself and a lot about people I surround myself with. But at the same time, I got to take in some incredible views of nature. If you ever have the chance to go. It is one just super unique hiking experience.
We kind of talked about it before the show, but you're a Cubs fan. Obviously the Cubs are kind of in the middle of the pack of the NL Central, stuff like that. What have been your thoughts on the team given the first month of this MLB season?
I'm very happy about how things have gone, and I think this team is a lot better than people are giving them credit for. I think their pitching has really carried the load early. You look at their rotation, and they have been as good as can be. Marcus Stroman is proving himself to be an ace at the top of the rotation. Justin Steele right behind him is really taking that next step to go from good to great. But behind him, you have a lot of really nice pieces that can give you quality innings. You look at guys like Drew Smyly, who's been pitching really well. Jameson Taillon, who it's taken him a little bit of time to find his form, but I think now we're starting to see the type of pitcher the Cubs went out and got. Hayden Wesneski, he's going through his growing pains, and he's learning how to pitch consistently at the big league level. But in the bullpen, you also have a bunch of guys that show a lot of promise. Keegan Thompson has been great. Adbert Alzolay is flashing his stuff. That's what's really stood out to me, because I feel like that was the biggest question mark. You go out and get all these arms over the last couple of years, and free agency and the draft are always tough to predict. You don't know how exactly it's going to turn out, but not only do the Cubs get the right type of arms, but those personalities gel really well in the locker room. Obviously, I can go all day about guys like Ian Happ, Nico Horner, Dansby Swanson, and the meat of the order, but the pitching is really what stood out to me.
Finally, Ryan, as we conclude this special edition of RDSP Chicago, I just want you to give one really good reason on why people should try to tune out to some real Cat games this season.
I'm sorry, can you please ask that one more time?
Sure.
You cut out in the middle.
I was saying, could you give one reason on why people should go out to Gary, Indiana and catch a Railcats game this season?
I mean, where do I start? If I had to pick one reason, it's just the experience is like no other. I know that sounds really, I guess, cookie cutter, but this is a team that's figured it out over the years. They were established in 2022. This is going to be their 22nd year of existence, 21st year on the field. They didn't compete in 2020 because of COVID-19, but they put on a show. Obviously, you're going to get a really good baseball game, but around that, the promotions really keep you hooked. We have a pizza scream in the second inning where we have our MC go around with a full pizza, and whoever makes the most noise gets the pizza. The kids get to run through the outfield in the middle of the fifth inning, or between the top and the bottom of the fifth inning. We do the chicken dance. We find ways to keep you engaged throughout the game and put on a show that resonates with everybody. If you're lucky enough, you come on a Friday, you're going to get a world-class fireworks show too. It's just one of those things. This team really prioritizes fan experience, and you're going to get a unique experience that you won't get at a Cubs game or a Sox game, and you're going to walk away wanting to go back again. It's just so much fun to go, and you're really going to get caught up in the ambiance and the atmosphere and the experience of it all.
Ryan, again, thank you for spending time talking about the Railcats, talking about yourself. We appreciate you doing this for Radio DePaul Sports.
Anytime, Brandon. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah. And with that, that will conclude this special edition of RDPS Chicago. The next one will be highlighting the Chicago Steel, a hockey team deep in downtown Chicago. But that is going to conclude it for this episode of RDPS Chicago. We hope that you've enjoyed listening to us today. Stay warm, stay safe, and we will see you guys next time. We'll be right back.